It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you're here and glad my guest today is here. I think you're going to want to hear from this guy. If you think franchising is complex or risky, you're going to want to hear this. Our guest, who's known as the Franchise Guy, is one of the most experienced franchise consultants in the country, and he's an award-winning FranChoice member, I should say. He's owned multiple businesses and led major turnarounds and written the Franchising 101 course. Today, he helps people like you cut through the noise, ask better questions, and choose franchises that truly fit your goals, lifestyle, and bottom line so you can buy with confidence. Our guest today is Matt Stevens. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Mark, thanks so much. Thanks a lot for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
It's good to have you here. And franchising is such an interesting thing. I've had my own little brush with franchising in the past. It didn't work out 100% for me, but it worked out and I got a lot of knowledge of it. And I was in the upper end of it. I was actually selling franchises with a partner. Okay. And in a pretty interesting concept, but we don't need to go into that. What I do want to hear about is you. And I want to hear how you got into franchising, how you got where you came from, and how you got here today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a long time ago. It was 1987. I was walking the halls, actually, of an Eastern university. And yeah. I ended up in a predecessor to what is now Serta Pro Painters, which is a behemoth. They're a $1 or $2 billion company in mostly in North America, but also in some other countries. And they have about 500 operations going out there. You know, about 40% of their franchisees have master's degrees. But at the time I jumped on board, there were about 67 or 70 of us throughout Canada and New England, just kind of shooting from the hip and learning professional ways to run a business. That's how I started. I was 20-year-old in my first business.
Wow.
I leveraged that for 3 years. It was among the greatest experiences of my life. The training we received was endless, and it was real time. We learned how to bob and weave. We learned how to be reliable to ourselves and to our customers and to our employees, how to pay bills and so forth. And so by the time I was, 23 years old, I'd operated 15,000 labor hours in that industry, and it just grew from there until to make a long story short, I was on the road the first 3 years working for a franchisor. I was on the road the first 3 years of my oldest daughter's life. And I said, something has to change. And a friend came to me about franchise consulting. How could you better leverage your time and knowledge? And this was the one. And so I've been here now with FranChoice for 25 years as the Franchise Guy.
Wow, that's cool. What is FranChoice? What is the essence of it?
Sure. FranChoice is a franchise consulting company. We help great franchisors find the right candidates, and we find great candidates find the right franchisors. Because otherwise, if a franchisor just goes out there and advertises online in magazines, home shows, and so forth, they're going to sign maybe 1 out of 200 applicants, all the way up to maybe 2 out of 100 applicants. Whereas when we get involved, their closing rates increase by 6 to 16-fold because we bring them the right candidate. On the candidate side, they're trying to look at the right options for them out of 4,300 roughly opportunities. And some of those opportunities are fantastic. Others, frankly, stink or inexperienced. And the right one for you is never going to whack you in the face. So we are that intermediary. If I bring the wrong candidate to the franchisor, I'm going to hear about it. If I bring the wrong franchise to the right candidate, I'm going to hear about it. So we learn about both and try to expertly match them together.
Sounds like a matchmaking business, right?
It is. I'm match.com for franchising.
I love it. That's what it sounds like. So take me through the process. So everybody should know what a franchise is. It's a system essentially for running a business in a certain niche, if I can put words in your mouth. But I want to lead that to ask the question of, let's say I wanted to open up, I decided that I wanted to open up an oil change business, for example. Can you walk me through, like, what does that start? I mean, I have no idea about, maybe I've changed the oil and I've, worked in a oil change place and I just thought it was a cool business. From that point where I make a decision that I want to be in that business, what do you do to me? How do you take me through that process?
No, fantastic. And maybe it was that you have a friend who opened one up and they're doing great and you're a little
There you
bit
go.
jealous or envious, right? So you look at those options, and let's say there's a dozen options you look at, and three of them are the only ones available for even purchase in your territory. And you may or may not be impressed with any of them. I don't know. But what I would do is I take that person who's looking at oil changes or Subway or something else, and we would, frankly, we'd wipe the slate clean. We'd keep that in mind. We'd compartmentalize it. And then we just talk about their ownership criteria, right?
Okay.
Know your desired outcomes. I think I heard you say that one time in a TED Talk. Know your desired outcomes. And that's exactly where we start. What is the picture you have for yourself down the road? And why does it exist? Then when does it exist? We figure out what it looks like first. We figure out the how afterwards. Once we figure out the what it is and the purpose for it, that's when I measure my candidates on roughly two dozen to 30 ownership criteria. Everything from access to money, desire for labor hours. What are they okay with? What are their tolerance levels for when they're going to generate income? Who do they want to manage, and on what days do they want their store or location to be open? Right? Who do they want their customer to be? Why do they choose that industry? Is it because they worked in it one time, or because they have a friend, or is it
Yeah.
because they see an opportunity in that industry that seems to be going on forever? We get into the head of the candidate for all of these things, and from there, we're able to create a picture as to what the greatest opportunity could be. So I'll then solicit the franchisors, find out who's available, what the story is. Is the neighbor a franchisee of the year or a rookie of the year? What growth opportunities are available, and so forth. And I'll bring the standing opportunities, the ones that are left standing after we cut out everything else, to the candidate. And I'll also bring in that oil change place if it's not already in there. And then I lead my candidate through a research process so that they can learn everything about that franchisor from the franchisor and the franchisees, everything about that opportunity. They can talk about territory. They can speak uniquely with individual franchise owners, one-on-one or in group settings. They have a lot of Q&A opportunities for every single franchisor they speak with. And basically, 3 weeks to 3 months later, they've typically
Okay.
reached a no on everything or a yes on something. And it's okay to eliminate all of them. If there is, we get to the bottom line as to why that is. But it takes 3 weeks minimum to get to a yes, and it can certainly take longer. For most of my candidates, it's a 2 to 3 month research process.
And that makes sense. If you're going to make that big a decision, you don't want to make it in 24 hours. But I have a question. You mentioned the words bottom line. And how do I know if I can even make a buck being in the oil business, in the oil change business? Do you start with that? Can I get pro formas from you, get ideas? How does that work? Because maybe I should be in the sandwich business instead of the oil change business.
Great question. That's a critical part of this process. So franchisors do have review processes, and they do that for a few reasons. One, to make sure they're investing their time and the candidate's time wisely. But another reason is to protect their existing franchise owners. They don't want a random person from the street just driving into locations and saying, "Where's the franchisee? I got 27 questions I want to ask him." So a great franchisor will have a static process. They'll divulge it to the candidate, and they'll take a couple to 3, 4 weeks to get through that process. And then they'll ask the franchisee, "Hey, it's time you speak with franchise owners. Do you want to do that?" And we have a whole process for that as well. I coach my candidates through questions to ask. We get super nosy. And bottom line is, my candidates typically will speak with at least three franchise owners before they eliminate a franchise that's of interest to them. They typically speak with at least six before making a yes decision. It's a Matt Stevens rule. After you speak with six, you're just going to hear the same thing over and over again. But I have had candidates speak with
I agree.
29, 32. Yeah, you just hear the same thing, but it can enforce their decision if
Yeah,
they do
yeah.
that. But that's what happens. So you get to get in the heads of the franchise owners before you're ever required or asked to make a decision.
Now, maybe I should forget about this lube thing and get into like chicken. I've always wanted to open a franchise for chicken. So why don't I just do the Chick-fil-A thing and why don't I just do that? Isn't that like $1.5 million to get into that one?
You can do the Chick-fil-A thing. Chick-fil-A is a very interesting thing. I mean, obviously the desire for the sandwich and the food they have is immense. Interesting though, Chick-fil-A controls everything in their business. So Chick-fil-A actually only has, I think today, about a $10,000 franchise fee.
Is that right?
It's about the lowest out there. The reason for that is they make all the decisions. They make the placement, the location decision. They make all the advertising decisions. The franchisee simply operates the store. And that can work very well for a lot of people. I've read before that there are 10,000 applications a year for 70 to 75 open Chick-fil-A's every year. It's tougher to get than it is for admission to Harvard.
Wow.
So Chick-fil-A does it that way. 7-Eleven does it that way, where they make all the decisions. They own the property. You're running the store, and that can work for people. Most of the folks I work with really want equity. And the vast majority of franchise systems out there offer that. And so if we were to look at other chicken options, because the Chick-fil-A may or may not be the path you want to get into, then we're looking at a whole different set of ownership criteria. The investment will be seven figures likely, or a high six figures minimum. And if you made that yes decision yesterday, you might not be open for 1 to 2 years to get that place open. 9 to 15 months is fairly sensible. But sometimes I've had people go 18 months or longer just to get their location-based business open.
Interesting. Wow. And so what are the big benefits of getting a franchise? Let's just knock off the top five benefits or something like that, just because people need to know, like, why wouldn't I start Chick-fil-B? Open Sundays, closed every other day, right? And then I don't have to pay a franchise fee. Nobody has to tell me what to do. I just watch what they do Monday through Friday, and I do it on Sunday. I can save
Great
all that
question.
Money.
Great question. And the answer is you can do that. I've placed over 900 people into various franchises, ranging vastly in investment from $30,000 all the way up to mid eight figures, actually. Most people are in a high five, mid six, low seven figure investment range. The answer to your question is this: none of those people I ever placed needed a franchise to do what they were going to do. It was one option amongst a number of options for them.
Sure.
And they chose the franchise for the reasons that you're amongst a group of people who are like-minded. So you're in a gang. That's one.
Big
Two,
deal.
you're assuming in training and throughout the operations process, all of this lessons that other people have learned before you that you don't have to experience the pain
sure.
of. That's a big deal. That's probably the biggest in franchising. Another one is the template and systems. You get to follow a system. You don't have to develop it and experience all the mistakes of that system. Another one is you get to enjoy economies of scale in purchasing. I know when I got out and started looking further into my old franchise, the marketing piece that franchisees were sending out cost them roughly at the time 44 cents a piece to go right to a consumer who was a likely potential buyer of that service. For me to put that together on my own would have been $2. But the franchisor purchased so many of them that it made sense. So those are the biggest reasons. Bottom line is it creates a faster catalyst for you to get where you want to go. And because life is finite, a lot of my candidates are in their 40s and 50s. Do you want to make mistakes and trudge through this thing for 5 or 7 years before you really master it? Or do you want to go through the learning curve that someone else has taught you and finally be there in month 9 or month 20? There's a huge difference of timeline.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a Mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
So it's a risk reduction strategy on its face, and then there's an ease of work. I mean, somebody's developed the systems, they already taken the arrows in the back, They've made the mistakes, they've learned the lessons, and now you get to climb on the top of all of that knowledge. So that makes sense. Now, what could go wrong?
I say this to everyone, even in the storefronts, a lot of it is behavior. In the storefronts, you have some additional risks. If the city tears up the street in front of your location to replace the sewer and you don't have front door access for 3 to 6 months, that's a problem and you couldn't have planned for it. But in most cases, it's behavior driven. Sometimes folks believe the franchise is going to run on its own. Mm-hmm. It never happens. There is nothing out there like a stock. You can't just walk away from it. Someone has to pay attention to it. It doesn't have to be you. You can hire someone to pay attention to it, maybe give them phantom equity or other rewards to make that happen. But someone's going to pay attention to the daily outcomes. And inevitably, it falls on the shoulders of the franchise owner and the people that they manage.
I see. Okay. So there's a few things that can go wrong. And nothing's perfect and we can't predict everything, but this certainly does take the edge off of the risk. And it increases the amount of certainty that you have opening a new business. Because let's face it, most new businesses fail within the first 5 years. So you want the best possible chance that you have going into a business when you open, and the franchise helps you do that. Am I right?
Yeah. The review process is really illuminating, Mark. What I tell my candidates, if you like what the franchisor has created as a foundation, and you then speak with franchise owners, your question is inevitably going to be to ask them a bunch of nosy questions to figure out, what are they doing? Why are they doing it? If they have deviated from the success plan, why? Has it advantaged them or disadvantaged them? Okay. What are they doing to change those results next year? Inevitably, my candidate has to ask the question, am I ready, willing, and able to do what the successful people are doing who are achieving the results I want to replicate? If the answer is yes, they might become a franchise owner. If the answer is no, they likely will not be.
Got it. Interesting. I mean, I love the franchise world because it does give you a path, and a path that it's not an unbeaten path. It's a nice path that whether it's a brand new franchise that you might be introducing to them or an old franchise, still there's some kind of a path because of franchising itself. So that's cool. How do people find out how to get into a franchise, to find out if it's right for them? Maybe if they're down the road, how to do business with you because they like what you said here today.
Sure. If they want to look up me, they can go right to my website. It's heisthefranchiseguy.com. And we actually have a site set up for viewers of this podcast specifically. It is podcast.heisthefranchiseguy/WA.
Okay. So that was podcast.heisthefranchiseguy.com/WA.
Correct. You got it precisely.
Even if I can get it, everybody else can get it. So that's good.
If you go there, there's three things I offer on that site, Mark. One is I offer a fit quiz. It's real quick to take it. We have a summary on some other things you can jump into, or it also offers you a free consultation with me, which is what I do with all of my candidates. Give them a short call. My philosophy is a short call will tell us if a longer call makes sense. And so we just dive into it from there.
Yeah, I do the same. It's not for everybody, guys that are listening, ladies that are listening, watching. I mean, it's not for everybody, but if you're going to go into business and you want to do something that has been done before and can take some of the risk off, like we've mentioned here on this podcast, a franchise is the way to go. So maybe get a hold of Matt Stevens and he can steer you in the right direction. Matt, anything I didn't ask you that I should have, or anything you'd like to leave our audience with today?
I love what you just said, Mark. It's not for everyone, but it might make sense to find out. And so there are franchises. I placed a person who lives off the grid. He invested five figures in his franchise. He gets his electricity from solar, his heat from wood, and he's running a very successful mid to high range net income EBITDA franchise. He's done it for 9 years. He's coming across his 10-year reunion. And other people, executives who want to add to a portfolio or add to the existing business or find themselves a jumping off point. I've placed a gentleman recently who bought franchises in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Florida. And his goal is to build 5+ of these things and then jump off. And that's going to be his retirement package. Those things exist. There are franchises for the person who wants to invest 60 or 70 hours a week for it, those who want to invest the normal 30 or 40 hours, and those who want to run what we call semi-active, either through someone else or on their own. So there really is something for everyone to at least be curious about, I believe. But you're right. It's not for everyone. We find the ones that are a fit for those who really like that opportunity and want to build wealth and what I call the freedoms of time, money, people, and purpose.
Oh, those are the big four. I love them. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I also add location in there, but it doesn't quite work in franchising, but all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, thank you so much for being for your time, for your wisdom, and for educating us a bit about franchising. I think it was fascinating.
Mark, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed the time with you here. You've been an excellent host. Thank you.
Thank you a lot. And everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. And I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.